Thanks, Don. Hey, Ishwar.
Oh, gosh. Are you speaking, Ishwar? Oh, we can't hear you.
I was just playing around.
Oh, we hear you now. Go ahead. Speak.
I was just playing around from the last time. We can get the sound to work.
So you're just teasing with us?
Yeah. How are you?
Shame on you. Well, welcome back, Ishwar. It's nice to see you. Thank you. Let me say, most of you were probably here in May when we had Ishwar here the first time. Ishwar told us, by the way, is it, I think I heard you say it's Ishwar. I've been saying it wrong.
It's pronounced Ishwar, but you can say it however you like.
Thank you, Ishwar. I've taught everybody to say it wrong. Anyhow, Ishwar was here with us in May, and he told us about what to most of us seemed like a remarkable awakening. Of course, any awakening is remarkable, but Ishwar's was remarkable to many of us because it seemed to come to him pretty rapidly once he set about figuring out what was really going on. and he told us about his experience, and he shared with us how we might look at the same sort of thing. And this is all very vague because I have a hard time speaking about what Ishwar speaks about. So I'm going to quit speaking. as soon as I say that, and Ishwar listened to the recording and had some things that he wanted to add. And so we're going to let him do that. So, Ishwar, to begin, I'm just going to turn this over to you and tell us why you wanted to come see us again.
So I'm trying to pull up the email here.
I can read that if you like.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay. He said, there was an error on my part when I referred to nothing. The way it seemed was as though this nothing is what you are, and this nothing is a goal to attain. I did not realize this. Just clear seeing that even the sense of existence never existed. Nothing ever happened. Nothing is going to happen, and nothing ever happened. Nothing is not anything. Muted, no thing, not a thing, not anything, not nothing. That's the first paragraph. So maybe we just want to start there.
So the way that I was speaking about some of this stuff, like I said, it can seem as though it's something for you to reach, something for you. That's the identity. That's the concept, the idea, something that you get. And that's not it. Essentially, everything that's here that's occurring right now is happening. All the thoughts, concepts, sensations, all of that stuff is happening without an interpreter of what's happening. So it's you. You're the thing that's a falsity. The sense of your own existence. The thing that's interpreting what's occurring and saying that it's a happening. So that's the first part of that. So surely there isn't anything here that's going on to anyone, to any identity, to any individual. It's all a projection inside your own mind, inside your own head. So that's the first part. The second part to all of this is it was alluding that there's a greater self once that's attained. If you attain nothing or you become that, that's your, it's equivalent to if the idea of you, your very sense of self, just vanishes, but everything here is still going on, still operating and moving. It doesn't need the input from you. Nothing ever does. So those were the two points I wanted to clarify. There is no true self that you become because you aren't something to begin with. You're imagining yourself having imagined relationships with everything. But those were the two points I wanted to clarify.
Well, thank you for that. And you did go on to the second paragraph you wrote. I get that everything is just happening, and it's not happening to me, or by me, or even through me. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. I'm trying to get my mind around this other half, this true self. I realize that I'm not trying to attain anything or become anything because the idea that there is an I to become something is what's false. Is that correct?
Correct. And that I is your very sense, your very sense of existence. So, like I said before, part of it is understanding how that was formed. You're after the fact, you're after experience. Your interpretation of experience is where you find yourself, which is always after experience. So you, like again, if you look at it from a physiological point, you already have it. Think about that for a second. I'm just stepping back a little bit. It takes time we're looking at it from a physiological, biological standpoint. It takes time for information to hit and process and then spit back out. So your very sense of self is already processed. So you are already past. You already have it. Like it takes time for light to penetrate your retina, goes to the back of your head, converts into signal. Although it's very fast, it does take time. And then interprets those images based on whatever, and then spits it back out as something coherent that you're perceiving. You, as a perceiver of reality, already have. So you're looking at yourself in the past. Your very sense of you isn't anything. If you already happen, what choice did you have?
Yeah, none.
Right, so it's the acceptance of that. Because we feel as though we have control. We feel as though we do things here. What it is when we ignore all that's going on, everything that's required just for us to take a breath, then we feel we have.
Then we feel what? I'm sorry?
Then you feel you have control. When you ignore the extent of what's going on here just for a living human being or a creature or anything here to be, the conditions that have to occur, when you ignore all of it, well, we talk about just the way that you're experiencing, forget living creatures, whatever it is you're considering yourself to be, all the stuff that's required for you to just be here and have a breath of and see. When you even look at that, then you feel you have control.
One second, Eshwar, for a technical issue. I mean, computer-wise. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sharon says she can't hear. Dawn, are you having a hard time hearing?
It's garbled at times.
Yeah. I'm wondering if it's the mic that Eshwar's using, and maybe you can do it without the headsets. Eshwar, just like unplug the headset from your computer and see if we get better sound.
Does it sound better? Can you guys hear me better?
I think so. Yeah, it sounds better. So, I was trying to focus on what you were saying and missing a lot of it. So, I hate to say let's start again, but let's review.
Well, essentially, what questions would you have based on the stuff that I sent? The corrections.
Well, and I appreciate that, Eshwar, because I know that that's your preferred method of instruction is when folks ask you a question as opposed to, like, here's my thesis. Mm-hmm. So the question that I have is, we hear a lot of people talk about true self in various forms of that. I mean, I think Ramana Maharshi talks about true self, does he not?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you told me that you definitely said I don't become a true self. So it just seems like there's a disconnect there. So tell me what the true self is.
So there are stages to this. And the first time, and the only reason why this is known is through the experience of it. It's being in the I am type experience and thinking that that was what all this is about. Perfect unity with everything here. Feeling oneself as everything, even from a particle to the color scheme on a wall, to feel yourself as that. But that's the sense of you is, or the way that you think of yourself is a thought. When you look out at anything, for you to know it, you have to conceptualize it. You yourself is a concept that comes to know reality as a concept. When you get back to that point where you can remove the distinction between the concepts, it just merges into this unified feeling. And it does feel perfect, but there's still a you there. There's still a you there that feels that unity. There's still a you there that's aware of perfection. That I am that. It's the identifying with everything in reality. And then you go past that. Like I said, there are different stages. And the only reason I got through... And please bear in mind when I use the term I, it has no value, it has no meaning, it's just a means to convey the idea. Once it's seen through and you push past, you're pushing past your idea of perfection. God is an extension of yourself. It's like your identity is trying to go back and back and back into greater experience. You do away with all the experience. So the only reason I come to know and come to understand these things is through the experience of them, being at those stages and understanding that that's not how it is. If there is even the sense of you to be a something, that isn't. Because, and it's not, you don't find this in meditation. This is found out here, right now. The way that everything is operating is without you. It's to see that clearly, and the way you see that is to see through your sense perceptions as each individual thing happening, but separately. And it has to be put in that way as a happening. Even though I say there's nothing that's happening.
Uh-oh, it looks like he froze up.
Once it's seen, the very center. I don't know. My good.
Oh, you're back. You were gone. But it looks like you're back. I saw you blink.
I was moving around here. So, like I was saying, that very sense of you, that. But where do you guys want me to start back over from?
We're just having a hard time hearing you, Eshwar. I don't know about your network there, but so I'm not catching everything that you're saying, which which makes it difficult to understand.
I think the phone worked better last time.
Yeah, I think it did. And actually, Don suggested maybe we should just switch to your phone. How do you feel about that?
That whatever works out. Yeah, I think we'll just do the phone.
Okay, we appreciate it. Don, I don't know what you want to do during this time. Well, I know what we'll do. I'm going to read you the whole Eshwar's whole response again while he's switching. So he said, there was an error on my part when I referred to nothing. The way it seemed was as though this nothing is what you are and this nothing is a goal to attain. I did not realize this, just clear seeing that even the sense of existence never existed. Nothing ever happened. Nothing is going to happen. And nothing ever happened. Nothing is not anything muted. No thing, not a thing, not anything, not nothing. And I think that's what he's been talking to us about. let me read you the second part. The second part, it may seem as though I was alluding to a true self that you become. The above clarification dismisses that possibility. What was being pointed at? We must accept that we are here and now and that we do exist, whatever shape and form that takes for each of us. The idea of a separate self or individual or the way we think of ourselves is just that, an idea. Only then can we accurately deconstruct whatever it is that we believe exists. This idea that we are something, and even more subtle when the idea is gone, this nothing that's left is what we are. So let me say it again. Those two sentences. Only then can we accurately deconstruct whatever it is that we believe exists. This idea that we are something, and even more subtle when the idea is gone, that nothing, this nothing that's left is what we are. This nothing that's everything and nothing. As you can see, that was difficult for me to summarize, an introduction of Eshwar, and he is, there's where we recognized Eshwar in his car.
You see, we try new things and it seems to work out better this way.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes. Good. Thank you. Okay, where should we start? Restart.
All right, so we were talking about the sense of you and true self. And I was saying the only way I've come to know this, that even to come to true self is just a stage, is from being there and going past and moving past that stuff. So we were talking about the I am type of experience, which is the oneness unity type of experience, where it seems that you merge with everything and you're just kind of spread out everywhere, and everything that's around you or you can think of, you feel as yourself. So essentially everything is almost like an extension of yourself. So it's an important realization to come to. I feel a lot of this has importance, because if you don't have that type of experience, you're not able to move past it and see through it. So it's almost a prerequisite to start to go through the process of understanding who and what you are. So Ramana Maharshi and his type of teaching, the self-inquiry, leads to that I am type of experience, that I am type of awakening. But it's the first part in it. It's not the final step.
You mean it's not the end of the inquiry, or do you mean it's just the first step, and it's like a two-step process?
That's the inquiry part leads to. The I am type of awakening. Once that occurs, you come to understand it opens up your mind to the way that you have been thinking of yourself isn't the only way or the means of experience that you've been accustomed to isn't the only means to experience what reality is or what anything here is. So that alludes to a whole bunch of other stuff too, but it's the beginning part of this.
Ruby says, could you say the next step after I am and where are you?
Where am I? I'm not anywhere. You see, what it leads to, once the I am type of experience hits and you think that you're, it seems omnipresent, that you're one with everything and you're everything and you're everywhere and nowhere and all of that stuff, all in the same time. It's to understand that that isn't it.
Wow.
It's to understand that that isn't perfection, that it, that there is still a sense of self, even though it's a unified type feeling, because it feels that it's everything. It feels omnipresent. So that's just the beginning. That's the beginning of this.
Right. And what caused you to go beyond that, what might be called unity consciousness or this feeling of being one with everything? What caused you to go, wait a minute, there's more to do here?
I was talking to a few people. I spoke to my brother because he's been through this entire process a long time ago. And when the type of conversations that I was having with him, he saw and he started pointing me to look at, he said, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm just going to let you know that where you're at isn't it.
Wow.
And I had another friend, Joel. He's more in I don't want to say he's a Buddhist, but there's a lot of Buddhist ways of looking that moves past the I am type of experience. And if you don't really have the way that they point or the things that they suggest that you do, if you've never encountered that, then you'll stay with the I am type experience and that'll be it. But it does go further and deeper into that because it moves you away from the universal self or unity.
George wants to know, do you feel you are still evolving?
I don't know. There's a sense of, the only thing that's left at this point would just be complete obliteration of the sense of self and day-to-day activity. And that's something that I find that's been happening more and more just by being aware of what's occurring through sense perceptions, including just leaving everything as is. And it's a very tough experience to describe, but there truly, 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 truly isn't anything here. If we look at what we're using as means of communication, which is language and concepts, which are all things that are made up, all things that can give a sense of importance, a sense of being, a sense of understanding, a sense of knowing, all of it is made up. And when all of it is seen through experientially right now, this isn't in a sitting in meditation or deep contemplation. This is just noticing what's actually occurring. And you notice that you are the falsity in all of this. And when you really look at it, that's not what Buddhism really shows you. They show you how to look. When you really look at it, your very sense of self just evaporates out. So there have been cycles of this stuff going on and on and on, and it's like weeding out most, thoughts, ideas, concepts, and that stuff. But the very the understanding that truly needs to hit that I see is that to really understand that even your understanding, and even if you understand, you went too far. Even if you're understanding what I'm saying.
That doesn't feel helpful.
You see, a lot of the teachers say, you know, when they get to this point, do you understand me? And if the student says yes, he's like, then you don't understand. You can't understand this.
Right.
You know, so that's way towards the end. It's just more of a, the process in itself is what brings the acceptance to yourself that you are currently. The falsity needs to see itself as the thing that's false. That's what everything is pointing at.
You said acceptance, and is that just a matter of, it sounded like it's not understanding, it's a matter of willingness to see the falsity of the self.
No, it's when the seeing occurs, the acceptance naturally follows.
Okay, and what leads us to this, the seeing?
They call it right view or understanding correctly, and seeing correctly what it is that's occurring here, what it is that's happening here now. It's a process. I mean, it did go quick for me, but for those who are looking, don't be stuck on just one thing where you're at. If you feel that you can't get past, find a different way to look. There are more direct ways where you got to understand your means of perception. Anyone that's here, their very means of perception and the way that they take in information from reality or from whatever it is that they're looking at, that's where you have to start. How is that information being processed? How is it coming in? And I don't mean, you know, how does your eye do what it does and break down the information? It's you. You're the one that's interpreting. You're the one that's saying that it's something. You don't want to go. You don't want to go.
I do, but maybe some of these other people.
You who go never come back. You never come back. The person you think you are right now never comes back. It doesn't see anything. It's what's seeing through as false.
Well, you say you don't want to go, and I feel like that is like wrong, because I feel like I do, but I don't know how to do it. I guess that begs the question is, if I really wanted to go, would I? You know, as again, for me, it comes down to, is it a question of my willingness to let go of the false self?
The first time I was on here, there was a recommendation of Liberation Unleashed. The intellectual understanding of what anyone consider themselves to be is purely intellectual, because you only cover yourself up with ideas and concepts. That's the only way you feel yourself to be anything or to have any kind of meaning or value, based on the ideas and concepts that you have of yourself. So the idea of a separate self is just that, an idea. I'm not saying that there's a true self, but the way that you think of yourself is one thing. Seeing how that process created your imagined idea of yourself, this is important to see through it. And that's what they offer, is a very direct way. But they ask you to give up everything that you're doing right now while you're going through that process. And I find a lot of people that I've come across and I've spoken to, they're not willing to do that.
Yeah, and I had forgotten about that. And I'll just, in case anybody missed it, it's a website called Liberation Unleashed.
They're not offering any philosophies. They're not offering you new ideas. They're showing you how to look at your experience and decipher what's thoughts, what's the content of thought, what's the nature of a thought, the very things that you're struggling against.
All right. Well, talk about willingness. I guess I'm willing to go look at their website.
You know, there's a lot to be said with everyone here wants to understand, because that's where you find most satisfaction, is when you come to know. When you come to know, you find that you finally understand what's happening, or you are progressing, or you're not progressing. So understanding the instrument that you're using to gain that information is key, or else it'll just, when your thoughts are running rampant, you're like, I don't know what's going on. Understanding the nature, you only get moved away from where you're at right now by your ideas and concepts of yesterday or tomorrow, past right. and future. So if you don't understand that mechanism, how it works or how it functions, you're always going to be drawn away. But when you do understand how it works and how it functions, you understand that you're always here. And if you move away, you always come back to this point, not the other way around. Not that you're in thoughts trying to get to the point, this point, it's flipped, it reverses. Mm. You understand the functions, you understand how it's drawing you away, and then you know you're always here, and if it draws you away, this is the point that you come back to. And that's key, because presence, here, now, conscious, aware, this is where it all starts. This is how you accurately start to deconstruct your very sense of self. Outside of that, you're just dealing with ideas and concepts, or even fighting ideas and concepts just to be present.
Right. So you're here, and the question is, what draws you away?
Correct. And when it does draw you away, you know to yourself, this is where you're coming back to.
Good.
And it'll flip like this. If I give you a plastic apple and I say, eat it, and you know it's a plastic apple, you're going to look at me like I'm an idiot, because you know it isn't real. It's not something that's edible. And if someone tells you, no, eat it, you're going to be like, how are you not seeing that this isn't real? That's what it comes to. That's the way it comes to. You know it. So if you know it isn't real, how can anyone ever convince you to eat it?
Right.
And how do you come to know? Through your experience, the understanding. That's the only way any true knowing ever occurs.
It's through experience.
Right. How do you know anything?
Sure. Yeah. Well, how do I really know it? Is like you say, through experience. Otherwise, it's, you know, I might be parroting some concept somebody told me.
Right. There's conventional concepts. If you want to learn a particular trade to further, you know, some type of work that you're doing, the entire structure is, or society is built on that false notion of knowledge. And within that, it functions and it works. So you play the game. But when it comes to yourself, you can't fool you anymore. Mm. Yeah, and once you go through that process with them, you see it. And it doesn't take very long. If you're open and honest and willing to look and look clearly without your concepts, you'll see. It doesn't take very long.
George says, so you're already here, you get drawn away from here, but you're not going anywhere, just returning back here?
Correct, because it's only an idea that's pulling you away. And you're here, and you're being pulled away with a mental construct. You're still here. Experience is here. It isn't anywhere else. You sitting right here and experiencing thoughts, where are you experiencing it? Right here. Right. So when you understand that mechanism, how it functions, you know you're here observing it. And even if it pulls you away, your default setting is to return right back here. Mm-hmm. You don't notice it. You're not aware of it. Or you didn't think to look at it the other way.
Well, I tell you, we spent a lot of time in here looking at thoughts and the way thoughts come up and the way, you know, as consciousness, we are focusers of attention. You know, we're casters of attention. And it's like, you know, squirrel, right? And there goes the thought thing, and that the training is to not run with all that stuff that's going on. So I feel like I have quite a bit of experience in that regard, but I feel like you're talking about something beyond that.
Right. The training isn't to not run with thoughts. This entire thing is not about stopping thoughts or interrupting thoughts or any of that. It's to understand what a thought is, understand what's the nature of a thought, what's the content of a thought. You have an arising thought. Understand if it's happening in your actual experience or if you're imagining it. That's the mechanism. That's the function. You're seeing how it's working. And once you recognize how it's working, slowly, this is where you will always be.
Mm.
You won't need to focus on breath or any of those things. Actually, thoughts will be, oh, I'm thinking again. Huh. And then you're like, oh, I'm here observing a thought.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Let's stop for a second. And everyone who's listening, just try this out for one quick second. All right. Do you all understand what's a boy? What's a little boy, right? Does everybody understand?
Yes.
Okay, so they understand. The very understanding is your intellect. Now I'm going to ask you this. Do all of you see me?
Yes.
Do you understand that you see me?
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Maybe not intellectualizing, but do you understand what's being said to you?
We understand the words that are coming out of your mouth, yes.
Right. Do you understand that you don't understand what I'm saying? Meaning the content of what I'm saying. You don't understand it.
That's correct.
Do you see that you understand what I'm saying and you understand that you don't understand the content of what I'm saying? You are aware of that. You're aware of that entire process. Do you know what the intellect is? It's yes or no. No assumptions being made here.
No. No.
So the intellect is a part of you that says it understands or it doesn't understand. Do you understand?
Yes.
Do you see that you are aware of that entire process?
Yes.
So if you're aware of the intellect, is the intellect you?
No.
You're aware of understanding and not understanding. That's a function and that's a process. If we don't take the time to look and see and understand those functions, then the instrument that you're using to try to figure this out, if you don't understand that instrument, how are you ever going to use it adequately where you can see this properly?
Yeah, well, I think you make a fine point.
And someone says you're a knower. Identity is a knower, you're an assumed knower, but you can't know anything. And that's further off. But for now, if you feel yourself to be the knower, then yeah. Because only you can know. Nobody else can. And if you think somebody else knows something, you're putting an assumption out there. You can only know you through your means of experience. So that's where you start. All of that is to bring you back here.
Dawn says that was the answer to your question about the intellect. She was answering that, saying the intellect is the knower.
Well, that would mean that it's knower kind of gives it a personality.
Hmm.
But it's a good way to look at it.
Looks like Cheryl has something to add. She's typing. And Dawn, I know you also had a question. Do you still have your question for Eshwar?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's 1 second, Dawn. I want you to ask it. I want to, Cheryl typed, what about being the observer?
it collapses too. There is no observer. There's no one here to see anything. There isn't anything here that can say that it can see. Yes, seeing occurs, but there isn't that, the agency, the sense of agency, the sense of the observer. You see, to get to the point of to be the observer is when you're no longer moving with the past and no longer projecting to the future. You're here, that's the observer, being here. The sense of self is observing.
Right.
That's what you're deconstructing. But even the, it moves back and back and back and back. It'll go from, you know, outwardly how we experience every day, just running in the thoughts and all of that stuff. And then you'll step out of that. You'll be the one observing thoughts, processes, intellect, all of that other stuff. And then when you can't accurately find an answer to what's this observer, it'll jump into awareness or consciousness or conscious awareness into all these other concepts too. And then eventually it will happen if you have the tools to see through it correctly. But what would the point of, and Joel, actually, when we were talking about this, he was the one that brought this up, is what would nothing have to gain by identifying with everything? If you're nothing to begin with, how can it identify with something? And that's what's seen.
Mm. Wow. All right, I tell you what, we've got like 13 minutes left. I'm going to let Dawn ask her question, and then I'm going to have to come back and listen to this talk again and then talk to you some more. But Dawn, go ahead with your question.
A lot of what we practice in here is awareness, watching awareness. And so you just mentioned it. And I was wondering, when you were saying you're being conscious of what's happening right here and right now without the past, without the future, because we know those are just thoughts and imagination in the mind, and memory is just thought, but you're actually observing what's in front of you. How can you, what I'm trying to understand is this whole awareness, watching awareness. Is that real? Is that a real possibility to be aware of your awareness?
I have no idea what people say when they say be aware of awareness. Awareness is a concept. What they're talking about is focused attention or being conscious and aware. Like, all these things are concepts that nobody can really accurately describe what it is. And furthermore, you're none of them. You're not awareness and you're not consciousness.
Go ahead, Don.
For me, when I think of awareness, like for instance, if I were to ask myself, and this is how I tune in and tap into awareness, is asking myself, I know it sounds silly, but I read it in a book, Rupert Spira, about you just ask, am I aware? And it's so obvious. Like, when, as soon as you were to ask yourself that question, am I aware? In the second, the nanosecond you ask that, you're obviously aware. And so that is the closest I seem to be able to come to being aware or conscious of awareness. What would you say about that?
How can you separate you from awareness or you from consciousness? When you're conscious of your, when you're conscious.
I think sometimes it feels like when I'm sleeping at night, I don't have a recollection when I'm sleeping. Am I still there? I don't know.
If you wake up and you didn't have a dream, you know you didn't have a dream. Right. Consciousness wasn't there. Awareness wasn't there. What was there? All right. Does it matter?
The body was laying in the bed, I think. I almost want to film myself while I'm sleeping to see what happens. I don't know.
What's going on in here is what really needs to be looked at. So again, there's going off into these concepts, into consciousness, into awareness, into observing thought, into all of this stuff. But the mechanism to which you're using to see these things, that mechanism needs to be looked at, because within that mechanism is where your sense of self is. That's how it comes about. Anything you can know, any knowledge that you know, is the means of separation.
I think what happens for me is, like, for instance, I'm looking at your face right now, and the second I look at your face, I'm like, it's just like, that's not me. So that, I think even it starts there. Like, as soon as I look at another person, I'm like, well, that's not who I am. I can entertain the concept that, you know, that's a larger body. And I like the idea of that. But.
Then go from there. Start with what you like. And that'll lead you to some place that you won't like. You, when you start to see these things, there's a level of discomfort that comes, but there's also a level of wonder that comes too. But we would have to have a one-on-one discussion, because there's a lot of things that's there, and there's a lot of teachers that are out there that takes a stand into something because they haven't seen past. And where they're at is, it's great, because they're all steps. They're all steps that lead you to this. But there's certain understanding that needs to occur. These processes, they need to be seen. Those, like I said, that very concept of mind is what confuses. And if you don't understand how it confuses, like, you think that you think.
Well, we're learning that's not true. The thoughts arise.
Okay. Where do they come from?
Well, there's theories, but where do they come from? I have no idea. They just arise.
And if they arise, how or why do they draw you away? If they're seemingly made from nothing, or they just pop up. See, observing isn't enough. Because the information that the thoughts are bringing or suggesting or saying is how you function in all of this. It's how you think that you function. And it's how this convention or conventional reality was brought about. So to some degree, you have to use it. Because you might sit there for an hour observing thoughts, and then the other 18 hours of the day, you're immersed in the world, and then you're coming back out of it for another hour to sit and observe it. And then, you know, in silence, not distracted. And then you go back out. It's fighting against something without understanding what it is. When you understand it, not only do you not have to sit for an hour, you notice it throughout your interaction as you're doing everything in the world. Meditate. This entire existence is meditation. Everything that's here is meditation. Because meditation gets you to this point. The whole point was to still your thoughts and observe all that stuff so you notice the present moment. This is reality. Not, you just can't describe it. And any thought that tries to conceptualize and encapsulate an experience that it can't, but experience first.
Well, and when we talk about awareness, watching awareness, Ishwar, we're really talking about like being aware of seeing, like being aware of, you know, as opposed to like, I'm over here and I'm seeing this computer screen over there. It's just really seeing the seeing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but awareness being awareness is giving the mind, it's almost like a koan, it's giving the mind something that can't be solved. And if you sit there long enough, it's like you're smashing your head against the wall, and eventually it'll just give up. Now, when you have, there's a lot of prerequisites that go with that, to allow that experience, allow the mind to give up by just understanding. That's why I suggested Liberation Unleashed. And everyone that's listening here, I don't suggest anything that I've never went through. And I went through them after the no-self type experience in meditation when that occurred. I didn't understand any of this stuff because I didn't have the knowledge behind, you know, years of seeking and understanding and looking at certain things. When it occurred, I was like, what the hell? it was nuts. And then going there, I started to understand when they started showing me how to look and how to integrate and just seeing what was actually happening. And all I was seeing was these mental processes. Right. And if anything, the experience just allowed for to be present, to actually look without concepts and see things clearly.
Yeah.
I went at it backwards, but it was still a helpful process by going through that, because you're understanding the understanding process itself.
Right.
And that's where most of our troubles are. I don't, you know, there's physical sufferings, but again, most of us, 99% of our suffering is in between our ears. You know, right. Don't get me wrong. There are sicknesses. I don't really speak to anyone suffering, but most of that stuff is between our heads. So that's where you want to start. And when you start there, everything else takes care of itself.
Marie, you had a question?
I know I wanted to say that I identified with the meditation part of getting into awareness, watching awareness. I have to get quiet and get into a meditative state of being before I can link into my awareness, because my ego is ever present. And I start every morning with that meditation, because through my 12-step recovery, one of the things that they stated, because I've been in recovery since I'm for 20, 30 years, 40 years, something like that. And I've been cultivating this meditation to understand what God's will for me was. I didn't understand it at the time, but I did meditate. And I learned to meditate so that I can get out of my ego. And now I understand through coming into awakening together that when I get into that meditative state to quiet my mind, then I can get into awareness, watching awareness, who's speaking, you know, where are my thoughts, who's speaking in my thoughts, who's angry because someone spoke to me in such a way. You know, that's what I do. Thanks.
Thank you, Marie.
That's awesome. You have 40 years? Or you've been, that's awesome.
I'm 61 and I got into recovery at 29.
Holy mackerel.
So I've been cultivating and I never relapsed. I came through addiction of alcohol and drugs. Drugs because I didn't gain weight, and alcohol, I kind of shied away because I got fat and I didn't like it. So I started to do a massive amount of drugs, massive. That, you know, I thought I would not live to see 40. That was my dream, was to die at 40, you know, but God had a different path for me.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Unfortunately, we're out of time. And I know we're going to suggest people look at Liberation Unleashed. Eshwar, I know several of our folks contacted you. Have you had enough of that, or shall I give your email again? Not that I'm putting you on the spot.
You can send it out. Email, phone number, people can call, they can send messages. And like again, like we said before, it works better with a one-on-one conversation than
this. Right.
It's easier to talk to someone that way.
And that is sensewithoutmind@gmail.com, right?
Yes.
Okay. sensewithoutmind@gmail.com. Eshwar, you are fabulous. I'm certain you are. I got to go back and listen so I get how fabulous. But I will I will go back and listen again. And next time you come see us, and I'm sure there'll be a next time, we'll have more focused questions based on what you've said tonight. We really appreciate your time with us tonight.
Oh, no problem. You guys have a wonderful rest of your night.
Thank you.
All right.